Welcome back to Stupid Politics Podcast. I'm your host, Jason. Back at you with episode 9, I think. Not quite sure. Don't judge me. But don't know. Okay. Our last episode was a little bit about Biden picking Kamala Harris for his running mate. If you haven't already watched it, don't, because it's terrible. Or listen to it. I was not feeling it that day, but I like to talk a little bit more about Kamala Harris after I recorded it, which I probably should have done before I recorded it. I was looking about Kamala Harris, basically. That chick is freaking radical now, dadgum. She said in the debate stage, which I don't remember, probably because I got bored off those, because the Republicans' debates in 2016, Trump made it interesting, but my gosh, so Democrat debates, like, golly, make you go sleep. Dadgum. Anyways, she said on the debate stage that if she become president, she'd give Congress 100 days to basically get rid of the Second Amendment, or she would do it herself. So she's a crazy beach, yeah. Also, is a authoritarian, a hard left authoritarian, putting people, which I don't agree with pot, but I mean, a lot of people smoke it and it's normal, I guess. But she put over 1,500 people in jail over pot, minor charges and stuff, all that. So she rules with an iron fist, is what I got from her. Not by any way or means a moderate. So yeah, and she'll probably, if Biden and her get elected, it'd probably be he'd probably step down. Well, I know he would step down right away. You guys know he would step right down right away. I mean, come on, man. Here we go again with that. Hold up real quick. Had to fix something here. So yeah, not a very moderate chick whatsoever. Oh, leftist wacko. Had to get a drink here. Hang on. Ah, oh, dagum. Gotta get some of that. Anyways, yeah, total crazy. Total crazy. Not a moderate whatsoever, but in today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about two topics. One is the peace treaty between Israel and the UAE. I think I said that right. I'm not sure. If I don't judge me. I don't care. And the other one is about the Senate and leaving without a coronavirus relief deal, which Trump has a Band-Aid over it, but there needs to be a little bit more done. But the freaking, not only left, the right, well, I don't know if the right is or not, but I know the left, they're trying to politicize the passing, saying that they won't pass it unless they get voting and mailing, which I don't really agree with whatsoever. I know that Trump said Florida would be okay to do it, but no, I don't think it would be. I don't think it'd be anywhere. But let's get into this article. Today's article is from The Hill. Senate leaves. Headline, blah, blah, blah. Headline. Dadgum, getting, pulling the cart before the horse here. Ain't gonna work. Article states, Senate leaves until September without coronavirus relief deal. I like how I just said that. Coronavirus. Whatever. Don't judge me. Dang it. Okay. Let's get into this article. The Senate left Washington, D.C. on Thursday until September. The latest sign that a deal on the fifth coronavirus relief package is at least weeks away. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, which he don't really care no more because he lost his primaries. I don't really care. He was a rhino, in my opinion. He kept the chamber in session this week, which was technically the first in its August recess as a last-ditch attempt to create space for the administration and congressional Democrats to get an arrangement. But with talks stalemated Senators argue that there is a little reason for them to keep holding daily, roughly 1.5 hour set. Oh, wow. Because working 1.5 hour sessions every day is so freaking frustrating. Oh, man. Can you guys just, can you imagine that? Just getting paid hundreds of thousands a year and having to work. I mean, oh, dang, it's so hard to work. 1.5 hours. Ah, it's so hard to work, guys. I mean, dang. I just wouldn't know how to act if I would have to work that much, let alone an 8 hour, 12 hour, 16 hour days. Jeez. Oh, guys, we gotta feel pity on these people. I mean, come on. Freaking wussies. They think it's so hard. They just want to sit around, not do jack diddly squat, and get paid to be your senator. Okay. The House already left town and isn't expecting to return until September 14th. We will have a regular pro forma meeting through the end of the state work period if the Speaker of the House and the minority leader of the Senate decide to finally let another package move forward. It will take a bipartisan consent to meet for legislative businesses. Sooner than scheduled, McConnell said as he wrapped up the Senate until next month. McConnell added that he hoped for the Senate would be able to act sometime soon. Senators will get at least 24 hours notice to return if Congressional Democrats Treasury Secretary Stephen Manchin and White House Relief of Staff Mark Meadows are able to break the impasse. I don't know. Big words. I don't say big words well, okay? Don't judge me. Come on, man. Dang it. I do not have cognitive decline, okay? Shut your face. Impasse. I'm calling it impasse. It's I-M-P-A-S-S-E. Okay? It's impasse now. Impasse and voted. I know that's not the right word either. I don't care. Okay. And votes are scheduled. Otherwise, the Senate will formally reconvene. I don't know what it is for me in words when I'm trying to read articles. I could read just fine one by myself, but when it comes to freaking podcasts, like, reconvene on September 8th. Reconvene. Senator Chuck, I'm sorry, guys, just bear with me here. Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican Iowa, predicted during a conference call on Tuesday that if negotiators don't restart by Thursday, the administration's executive orders would be the only action that takes place until early September. If it doesn't happen in the next 48 hours, I think this is all you're going to see until Congress gets back into recession after Labor Day, Grassley told reporters. There's little reason to think a deal will be reached before then. The four key negotiators have not met in person since Friday, when the talks officially collapsed, and the only contact to take place this week, Manchin calling House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Wednesday, resulted in dueling statements that only illustrated how stalemated the negotiations or coronavirus relief have become. Democrats entered negotiations with a package of approximately $3.4 trillion to $3.7 trillion and have offered to reduce the price tag by $1 trillion. Republicans in the White House have refused to move from roughly $1 trillion. We are miles apart in our values, Pelosi told reporters. Oh, well, dang gum. You guys realize that? Dang, I never thought about that. Never thought the Republicans and Democrats, the liberals, are way off, and the conservatives way off from each other. I thought they was right there side by side. Couldn't tell the difference. Dang gum. Come on, man. On Thursday, perhaps you mistook them for somebody who gave a damn. That isn't the case. This is very far apart. Oh, well, daggum. There she goes again. I know those liberals are trying so hard to pass that bill for the good of American people, and them concerned just freaking not putting it down. Saying, nope, I don't want to shine up because you guys come up with it. Nope. I mean, this is retarded, to be honest with you, if you can't tell, very stupid. I feel like both sides are being a little bit retarded. I mean, the right to one side, which I guess there is some stuff that Democrats always want to add. They always want to politicize stuff. Never care about the American people. They just want what's best interest in for their party, in their party only. And they just, they depress me, to be honest with you. And there's a lot of Republicans that depress me, too. Anyways, I am a conservative Republican, by the way. So when you hear me dissing Republicans, it's not that I'm a freaking independent. So I'm so conservative that these conservatives are like liberals to me. Anyways, what was I gonna say? Daggum. I know where I'm at. It's a joke. It was a joke. That's a quote from Joe Biden. I'm Joe Biden. I approve this message of that quote. Anyways, they just want to politicize it and freaking. It's really stupid because you got your average American worker, which I don't think they understand it or why, but they blame the Republicans for everything after they don't come with a deal. When Trump sent freaking his, I think it was Mulchin and Meadows. Munchin, what, Munchin? I don't know. He's got a weird last name, and I don't even care. He sent them, you know, to talk to Nancy and Chuck. Excuse me. And they said no, not without. They're trying to play hardball. Now they're regretting it, but they want things done their way or no way. They want to add Modi and Vodi and mail because they know they can rig it, and they. They're just, I don't know. I don't know how these people get elected, to be honest with you. How stupid are you that you just elect people that say, oh, I mean, I guess it's a typical politician. Oh, we're here for you, dang it. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to change it. After 10 years of being in there or something, you don't feel one thing different. My bad. Hey, get a drink. I ain't done yet. Don't you turn that off. I seen you trying to push that button. Just trying to get a drink here. Dang. Continue here. Asked when her next talk would be with Munchin and Bando's policy response. I don't know. When it come in with $2 trillion. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, speaking to reporters on Thursday, said the talks are at a stalemate with no Sherlock. As Secretary Munchin said yesterday, the speaker wants a $2 trillion commitment from us. We're not going to give it. There are too many things, too many asks on their side that don't fit. Don't have anything to do with COVID for that matter. Well, daggum, he is right on point there. He is preaching to the choir. Hallelujah. That's what I've been saying this whole time. I mean, you guys know. Come on, man. Don't make me start saying, come on, man. You guys already know how retarded they are and how they want to just not. Oh, well, these Republicans, they don't have nothing to do. Listen, they just don't want the interests of the American people. Well, no, duh. They want to pass a bill. You're just too stubborn to sign it because you want stupid mail-in voting so you can rig it. Duh. Good, and I'm sure there's other things that's retarded on there that you want done that has nothing to do with COVID-19. I guess mail-in voting does, but they don't. They just want to say, you know, that voting, mail voting. Dang it, I'm calling it mail voting. Mail voting. They want to do that so they can rig it. I mean, you guys know. I guess what don't make no sense, though, at the same time is, why are you worrying about mail voting when everybody's in public every day anyways? What's the difference going to be? I mean, they're still going to touch that letter. The postman's still going to touch the letter. Whoever, you know, it's going to go down the line, they're going to touch the letter. What does it matter? I mean, dang. People go to Walmart. People go other places. Entire spaces, can't wait in line to go vote, then you don't need to vote. Dang. Let's continue. Beyond a top line figure, the two sides haven't resolved how much weekly employment benefits would be, how much money to give state and local governments, and how to address McConnell's red line of liability protection for businesses that open back up, school funding, both the amount and how it's divided up, remains a sticking point as well. Inaction comes as the employment rate is at 10%, down from a peak of 14.7% in April, but still slightly higher than the peak during the Great Recession. And the country continues to report tens of thousands of new coronavirus cases per day. False, false, false. What it is false test. Not only false test, could be regular. I feel like it could be regular flus. It's getting you get positive. Like if you go in, you get sick, and you got the normal flu, and you go in there and you get all tests, and they shove that big old thing up your nose hole, and then they do all their jazz and come back positive. And all that time, you know, they mark it as coronavirus, when all this time it was just you with little sniffles. Okay. I've heard of people that have no symptoms, had tests come in or whatever, like test results come in saying they're positive. Like, what the heck? And it was their name on it. It wasn't a mistake. Their name was on it, and it was like, okay, I think this, whoever sent this was high. But no, it's all real. No, it's all real, man. By the way, are you guys wearing goggles? Not just masks, are you wearing goggles? If you're not wearing, you're freaking not wearing goggles. It protects you from coronavirus, man. It protects you from coronavirus. Man, come on, man. Don't you know? You say, you listen to everything. What that retard, this doctor, I can't think of the name right now because I'm a retard myself. So I shouldn't use a retard word. Stupid myself. Again, what's his name here? Okay. His name, okay. You guys know what I'm talking about. Come on. Fauci. Dang it. Why can't I think of his name? I guess he's not that important, but Fauci. Dude. Came out not too long ago and said, recommends wearing goggles. Like, what the freak? Before long, they'll have us in all bubbles. If it was up to him, we'd all be in bubbles rolling around like hamsters. Let's continue here. Thousands of new coronavirus cases per day, including reporting nearly 1,500 deaths on Wednesday, and what is the highest number of daily deaths since mid-May? Oh, no, yeah. Yeah, it's totally real. Let me just take a rundown here of a scenario of a coronavirus death. You and Billy Bob are out there working one day. Billy Bob. Say you guys do road construction. Billy Bob. I go over there, hey, Billy Bob, make sure you stop that road press. Don't want to get you all pressed up. Billy Bob. Billy Bob says, man, I don't want to do. Gets out there. Doesn't put in park. Want to do something with the asphalt or something. Bam, gets rolled over. Crush everybody with money. Well, he died of coronavirus. Dagum. Look at him. He done crushed him. Coronavirus done crushed him. Dang, Billy Bob, what I tell you. Told you wear that mask, Billy Bob, and glasses, Billy Bob. Now you done got killed by that coronavirus, Billy Bob. Billy Bob, Billy Bob, Billy Bob. Oh, Billy Bob. So many of these deaths are fake. They die of natural causes. They die of gunshot wounds. They die of falling. They die of other things that people die of daily. And the marked as coronavirus. So politicized, so stupid. They gotta be a moron to believe those numbers. I live in a county that was not affected that much by it. But let me tell you, we're freaking hardly anybody with masks, okay? Up there touching gas pumps and jazz and going to the gym and jazz and stuff. And, dude, listen, I haven't heard of no spike at all, okay? I'm telling you, it's not as bad as what they say. I mean, you guys probably already know that, but it's not as bad as what they say. I mean, they are high when they come out with these numbers, I'm telling you. Higher than my grandma. And she's dead. Sorry, that was pretty dark. Not for real, she is dead. The one I'm thinking of now. I have one more that's still alive, but that's relevant. Okay, let's continue this article. Much and Meadows have been providing daily updates to Senate Republicans, but senators have said there are little reason to think a detention between congressional Democrats and the administration is on the horizon. Basically, not much new movement, said Senator Roy Blunt, Republican Missouri, after a call this week. The stalemate is taking place less than 3 months before the November election, injecting more politics into the dynamic compared to the four previous coronavirus relief bills that passed the Senate with either no opposition or only a handful of no votes. By the way, remind me, I'm sure you guys heard about Kamala Harris and Biden's whole coming out saying governors should mandate masks. Our governor mandate masks. Guess what? Ain't nobody do listening. Because you can't force people to wear masks out in public because it's our constitutional right to disagree with it. And, you know, governors do not have the ability to force that on you. That would be considered a authoritarian state. And if you force people to wear masks, you are in fact, that's an impeachable offense, whatever you call it. Peaceful action, dang it. I hate this politically correct freaking Yahoo, blah, blah, blah. I know Ben Shapiro uses these fancy words, but listen. I ain't hear you no fancy words. I'm here to ramble and rant, give you my opinion, and tell you the truth. I'm going to get a drink real quick. Hold up. Dadgum. Vulnerable incumbents in both parties have sent warning signals this week to leadership that they need to cut a deal. Republican Max Rossi, New York, a freshman Democrat in a district President Trump won in 2016, told CNN that I share the concerns that I am hearing from my constituents, dang it. I'm peed. I'm angry. At this point, oh, she's mired. Guys, she's mired. Constituents, by the way. But she's mired. She's mired. I'm glad. Not sired. It's not mired. I hired. That's it. At this point, it's a middle finger to the American people. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, it is. I agree with you there. Democrats are definitely saying, F you, mother effers. You guys voted us in, but we don't care. No. We are the freaking party that's it's so free and not caring that we don't care. Nope. We don't care about the American people. I mean, seriously, Democrats don't care. There's a lot of Republicans that don't care about Americans either. It's ridiculous. Sad, actually. That's why they want Trump out there so bad. Let's continue. Senator Susan Collins, Republican Maine, who faces a tough re-election bid as one of the two GOP senators running in the state, won by Democrat nominee Hillary Clinton, said on Thursday that she thought the Senate would reconvene next week to try to work on an agreement and force members to vote on coronavirus relief proposals. Have people step up to the plate, she told the Sun Journal. But even though the Senate has been in session the week, the Capitol has largely slid to its normal summer routine with only a handful of senators spotted around the chamber. Instead, the brief sessions have largely been used for senators to trade blame over the inability to get a deal, providing a daily look at how far apart the two sides are. I do feel like it's both sides. I mean, yeah, Democrats have some dumb and unreasonable stuff on their side. I don't know about the Republicans or not. But they just need to make a deal and, like, they can forget about the whole mail-in voting jazz. McConnell on Thursday accused Democrats of holding the agreement hostage and barely even pretending to negotiate while warning that voters were watching. But now the whole country knows what I'm talking about. The absurd issues which the Democrats have turned to sticky points, he said. Senator Tim Kaine, shrugged off the comments, knowing the gobbler is facing his own headache with McConnell's own estimate up to 20 senators prepared to vote against any deal. The GOP division's captured the political spotlight for weeks and undermined the negotiating hand for Meadows and Manchin. "He's got to say something," Kane said, "and you know I think he's done what he can do with Senate GOP. When he candidly acknowledged, look, there's going to be at least 20 members of Congress who don't vote for a single dollar's worth of aid." He basically at this point is saying, "Dems, you got to work it out to the White House." That's it for that article. Like I said, stupid. They politicize everything. Don't agree with it whatsoever. They need to think of the American people, but they don't really care about the American people. I mean, this shows it too. Time and time again, I hope the American people see this. We honestly need change. We need a whole new... We honestly need a whole new party. Yeah, we just need a new... I don't know. It's just... We need a whole bunch more Trumps in there. Now it is, I want to talk a little bit about Israel and the UAE. Established full normalization of relations. This is a big one for Trump. This definitely will help him in his re-election bid, in my opinion. And they know that. Obviously, that's why they wait. And it was working around this deal the whole time, not saying anything. Hang on real quick. Not saying anything or anything like that. And making it a surprise and be like, whoa, this just came out of nowhere. Bam. But let's get into this article. Israel said it would temporarily suspend plans to annex the West Bank as part of the new peace deal with the United Arab Emirates. The deal was announced by President Trump, Donald Trump, who told reporters in the Oval Office that he had a very special call with leaders from both countries, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or something, I don't know how you say his name, and UAE Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed. And that they, Netanyahu, I think, and that they, don't judge me, okay? I hear you judge me saying, oh, it's not right. Just not right. His name is so-and-so. It's Netanyahu, not Netanyahu. You're so wrong. Listen, I'm not the brightest light bulb in pack, but I get the job done. Take that home with you. Trump also tweeted a lengthy joint statement between the U.S. and UAE and Israel, calling an agreement to full normalization of relations between Israel and the UAE a historic diplomatic breakthrough. The UAE and Israel plan to exchange embassies and ambassadors, according to the statement. It will be the third Arab country to open relations with Israel after Egypt and Jordan. This deal is a significant step toward building a more peaceful, secure, and prosperous Middle East, Trump said Thursday. It will be known as the Abraham Accord, Trump said of the agreement, which U.S. Ambassador to Israel, David Friedman, said is named for the father of all three great faiths, Christian, Muslim, and Jewish. Not really. Muslims are definitely not a part of there. But okay, whatever you see. I wanted it to be called that, the Donald J. Trump Accord. Classic Trump. Listen, you'll be. I'm trying to do my Trump impression. It's not as good as what it used to be. Listen, Ditching Yahoo, whatever your name is. I'm terrible at this. Okay. Listen, okay. I think it should be called the Donald J. Trump Accord. It'd be huge. It'd be great. Everybody would love the name. It'd be the best, the greatest peace agreement you ever heard, you ever read. It's going to be huge. It's a huge win for America, a huge win for Israel, and a very huge win for the UAE. But mostly me, the greatest peace agreement of all time. Classic Trump. That was terrible, I know, but thank you for bearing with me there. Classic Trump. I love him for for always bragging about himself, because somebody's got to. I mean, the media. Media beats him down so much, and somebody's got to do it, you know. They think the press would, but I don't think the press would understand that Trump said it's laughter. I'm going to guess Ian laughter, but yeah, classic Trump. By the way, I would love to see his, his face on Mount Rushmore. I think that'd be awesome. He deserves it, in my opinion. He definitely deserves it. But yeah, can you hear? Trump also suggested that the other countries would follow the UAE's lead. Now that the ice has been broken, we are already discussing this with other nations, Trump said. So you'll probably see others of the I bet you Palestine's in there. Y'all know, I don't know if y'all read the Bible or not, but I sure do. And I guarantee it in Revelation, it talks about the 4 years of peace or 7 years of peace agreement signed by Palestine and Israel that is to come. And after 3.5 years, it's broken off and there's a war, otherwise known as World War III. All that good jazz, deal of squats. But yeah, I definitely think it's heading in that direction. Can you hear? PLO rejects agreement. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, I'll say it how I want, dang it, said it was a historic evening, adding a new era opens between Israel and the Arab world. Speaking of Jerusalem, he said we are establishing full official peace, full diplomatic agreement with embassies, investments, commerce, tourism, direct flights between Tel Aviv and Dubai, and Abu Hobby, I don't even know what he said, asked whether it was the right to characterize the UAE agreement with, as stopping annexation. Netanyahu said, we received a request to wait temporarily from President Trump. It is a temporary postponed. It is not removed from the table. I am telling you that. Israel's opposition leader, Yair Lapid, congratulated Netanyahu, adding, this step is proof that negotiation agreements, not unilateral steps like annexation, which would harm Israel's security, are the way forward for our diplomatic relations. Israeli Defense Minister and alternate Prime Minister Benny Gantz lauded the agreement, saying, highlights Israel's external aspiration toward peace with its neighbors. But about Palestine Authority President Mahmoud Abbas trashed the peace agreement as a betrayal of Jerusalem. In a statement read out on Palestinian TV, Abbas spokesman Nabil Abu Rudini, these are weird names, I'm sorry, said the Palestinian leadership rejects what the United Arab Emirates has done. It considers it a betrayal of Jerusalem, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and the Palestinian cause. This deal is a de facto recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. The PA also announced it was immediately withdrawing its ambassador to UAE, according to a statement on the Palestinian news agency Wafa. Officials from the Palestine Liberation Organization rejected the agreement, as did Palestine militia group Hamas. What kind of name is Hamas? Oh, you must join Hamas. Hamas is aggressive. Ain't that food? For sure it is. They like Thomas so much, they're like, hey, let's go make a military group, a militia group, called Hamas, daggum. In response to a tweet by Ben Zayed about the agreement, PLO Executive Committee member Henry Ashirari, I don't know, tweeted, may you never experience the agony of having your country stolen. May you never feel the pain of living in captivity under occupation. May you never witness the demolition of your home or murder of your loved ones. May never be sold out by your friends. Fawzi Berhome, spokesman for Hamas, said in a statement, we strongly condemn in all possible ways normalization with Israel, which is considered a stab in the back to Palestinian cause, and we're only encouraged it to commit more crimes and aggressions against the Palestinian people. The leader of Palestine National Initiative, Mustafa Barghouti told CNN this normalization deal is an effort to support Mr. Trump, who is clearly losing the U.S. election. It will not have a big effect on the ground. This is a stab in the back of the Palestinian people and not a potential for real peace, Barghouti added. It's really shocking that as such a deal was agreed on when Israel said it would not stop the annexation, but would only postpone it. And clearly, this would not be called the deal of the century, but the deceit of the century, he said. White House touts result. The Trump administration made much of the deal on Thursday. Friedman congratulated the U.S. president on what he called a historic agreement in the Oval Office. The White House advisor and special representative for international negotiations, Avi Berkowitz, touted the achievement. Peace is a beautiful thing, Berkowitz said. Trump heaped praise on the advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who said Trump urged his team to take an untraditional approach. You can't solve the problems that you have gone unsolved by doing it the same way that people before you have tried and failed, Kushner said, which is the definition of insanity. Doing the same things over and over again, the exact same things over and over again, and expecting a different result. And that the announcement shows there's hope and potential for the region. Kushner declined to speculate about how long Israel will suspend its annexation plans on the West Bank when a reporter asked him about the timing during a Thursday afternoon news briefing at the White House. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien added that the Middle East was a mess when Trump took office, and this is another step to fix that, O'Brien said. There will be a meeting of the delegations in the coming weeks, which Trump added would take place at the White House. Yeah, he is restoring peace in the Middle East. Trump jokingly asked Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who also praised the development, whether it was easier to negotiate with these countries, I knew this was going that way, or the Democrats amid stalled coronavirus stimulus negotiations. Middle East is more reasonable, Trump joked. Kind of true. The White House maintained a tight hold on this announcement, with only a select few top State Department officials aware that this announcement was coming. Most working-level State Department officials were surprised when the announcement came, said two State Department officials speaking on the condition of anonymity, because they were not authorized to speak on the record. Last week, when an integrity delegation traveled to the UAE, a peace agreement with Israel was not discussed, the official said. This is a game changer, one of the officials said. Simply put, this is breaking out of the mold. The administration was able to seize on the UAE and Israel's common enemy of Iran as a way to achieve this agreement, one administration official said, speaking on the condition of to discuss internal dynamics. While this is likely to ruffle feathers in the Arab capitals, it will ultimately create solidarity among a greater number of countries confronting Iran, this official said. There's a lot more to this. I don't really want to read it no more. It was just what the country thought. It looked like it was just Egypt. So I'm sure they're going to say it was a good deal too. But yeah, it's a good thing. I'm glad that they did it, I guess. Puts another couple brownie points for Trump in the re-election bid. Can't wait till see what he does. September 29th, I think, is when the first presidential debate is. Can't wait to see him wreck Joe Biden, Pedo Joe. But I do feel like where it's going to hurt him is the vice presidential debate. I've never seen Pence debate before, but I feel like he's not going to do a very good job, and I feel like Kamala Harris may hurt him there. She'll be a little bit better. They're doing this in a smart way too, though, because Trump can't just dig at Kamala Harris because she won't be at the presidential debate, and she won't be at the presidential debate there, but she'll be at the vice presidential debate. So he can't really say much because, maybe he can. I don't know. I'd just like to see how this plays out closer to election. I will be talking about my election predictions. I got three predictions, but or forecasts, whatever you want to call them, basically maps that I made, and I just wanted to give it to you guys. But I'll probably wait till closer election. My views probably won't change. It's either one or three things: Trump wins by very small, barely makes it; wins it by a larger margin than last time; or Biden beats him by like 3 points, I think, what I had or something. It's just different things. But I'm gonna go because I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Becoming Joe Biden. I talk about him so much and becoming him. Gosh. Before I leave, I just want to talk about our Facebook page. If you haven't already liked and followed us there, what are you doing? Go over there to Facebook and look up Stupid Politics Podcast. Go like and follow us. We post memes, post news articles, and we post new episodes on there. So, if you don't like Facebook or you don't have Facebook, you should probably have Instagram, because who doesn't have Instagram? Go on Instagram, all one word, Stupid Politics Podcast, and go follow us there. And that'll do it for today's episode, guys. Always remember to stay strong, be bold, and always be heard. This is Stupid Politics, episode 9. I'm your host, Jace, signing off.